next thing that we're going to look at here. Temptations. Temptations. You know, it's good news when it comes to this. We saw, we'll see tomorrow in chapter 1, that God uses testings in our life. He uses circumstances. He uses the crucible of suffering to bring about changes and purposes in our life. But we're going to also learn the temptation to do evil. The temptation, the desire to do what is wrong and to allure and to appeal to you and I. It will never come from Him. Never. Ever. It will never come from Him. And He will give to those who desire. He will give the strength He has given us, really, the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be overcomers instead of yielding. Reality. We have a lot about that. Here's somebody that's hungry. John here, we'll use John. He's hungry. He has no clothes. He has nothing. And I walk up to him and I say, John, be warmed and filled. You say, well, we wouldn't do that. Wouldn't we? We are addressed as those that would do that very thing. That there would be absolutely no evidence in our lives of the reality of the work of Christ, because the work of Christ should be seen. It should be seen in you and I. Let me ask you now, do you think this is a practical book? You just stop and think of the things that we're looking at. I remember the book of James.
I remember two books. Two books stand out with me in Vietnam. 2 Timothy and James. And I read them till I could quote them to you. I read them till I could say them to you. And I will tell you something. God honored it. He honored His word, and He will with you. I'll tell you. How important are these principles? How many have a tongue? My. You know, I visited a sister in the hospital in a nearby city from Bluefield. I don't want to say where it was. She's always been one. Maybe you feel this way. You know, I just tell it like it is. I just say what I think. I just tell people what's on my mind. I give them a piece of my mind. She always stayed in trouble with everybody. Always stayed in trouble. How many of us this last year can think of words that came from our lips that we would give all that we could give if we could take them back? We can't. We've let go, and we've said what we thought. And then we find, you see, the damage is done. People are offended. Brothers and sisters in Christ are offended. Feelings are hurt. Horrible damage done. What about our tongues? Do you think? Would not all of us say, Lord, I need help in controlling this small part? Because do you know, it's the revealer of what's here. It's the revealer of what is in the heart. That's what the tongue is. And James has a whole lot, doesn't he, to say to you and I about our tongue. Where will it help us? Well, I grew up as a teenager. I was one of 11.
So I know what it is to be at home and scraps with brothers and sisters. And then I'm like you, I went to school, you see. And then this is problem that we've got to work. We've got to work and we've got a boss. And how many of us just like to tell our boss what we think? Well, there's a lot of us maybe that would want to, you see. Come back again to the local meeting. How many problems in local meetings? And I'll tell you, you see, this is the focus of this conference. My exercise, and I know John's and Tony's was and Emil's, is that these conferences might affect the meetings where we come from. And, you know, when I think of that, I think of a tongue that is being used to praise the Lord. A tongue that is being used to praise the Lord in the breaking of bread. A tongue that is not silent in a Bible study. A tongue that is helping. A tongue that the mind has gleaned something for Christ that week. And the tongue is used to give it to someone else. And I think especially of the breaking of bread. When our tongues can be used to praise Him. Do we need help with the tongue? Oh, I think that we need lots of help in this area. What's the remedy? What's the last thing James speaks about? You see, I don't have power, and you don't have power, but we belong to one. We belong to one when this man, Elijah, a man of like passions as you and I, when he got on his knees before the Lord and he prayed that it would not rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. You think of that. How many of us are guilty of saying, well, you know, I've done everything I could. There's only one thing left to do now, and that's pray. How many of us treat our prayer life that way? One of the dilemmas that I had coming here was my son is going to Afghanistan. And he was leaving this Saturday. And I said, Lord, I know this is a lot to ask, but couldn't you do something about the date? Do we realize who we're talking to? Do we realize the one that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask? And then he says, no, not just ask. All that we ask or think. That's the one that we belong to. All power, he could say, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And this is the one that says to you and I, my dear child, that difficulty you've got, that problem, that issue, that school, that job, I want you to come boldly. I've provided a throne of grace for you. And I want you to come boldly to that throne because I want you to obtain mercy. And I want you to find grace to help in a time of need. Does that sound like something we might need if the Lord leaves us here in 2009? You know, all these things sound to me, and I'm a long ways down the path from you. But I kind of feel like as I look at this, Lord, help me to go back over this and learn it and relearn it and relearn it and relearn it again. He was a man subject to like passions such as we are. He prayed, it didn't rain. He prayed again, and it rained. He has been given to you and I in this dispensation as an example as we finish this book. I well know the book is written to early Christians. They probably were ones who lived between Acts 1 maybe and Acts 6 or 7. They weren't free from the law. Paul's epistles had not been written. But I'm going to tell you something. These principles in this book for our life, for daily living are priceless. Where am I? Where have I been this last year? If I change nothing, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing will change. Say that again. If I change nothing in my life, not a thing will change. I'll keep getting the same results from what I've been doing that hasn't been working. And that's a path that so many are on. So as I close, you know, I appeal to you. Every one of us here. Maybe I'm the oldest, probably him. To the youngest. Thankfully, we've got some 15-year-olds here this year. The Lord wants an exercised heart. You can be exercised about this after the conference. But how much better tonight? Just to take a little inventory of your life and see what a difference this week can make in what is before you this next year. So we just ask, now I'm going to say this, pray for the older brethren here. We haven't learned everything. To our young brethren, this is your readings tomorrow. If you don't participate and you don't help, you have no one to blame if you don't get anything. The Lord gives you a thought, a question. We're encouraging you. I heard someone made a comment at Grove City this last year after the conference that he didn't get a chance to say anything. The older brothers just talked the whole time. Well, I challenged that. Don't think it was true. But I say to you, come prepared. Read again, especially the first chapter, and the Lord will bless us, I'll tell you. I'll just close in prayer. Is that okay?